Den her by Thank you. Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your time to you is worth saving, and you'd better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are changing. Come you writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now can be later to win, and the times they are changing. Come you senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he who gets hurt will be he who has stole, and the battle is outside a raging. We'll soon rattle your windows and break down your walls, for the times they are changing. Come you mothers and fathers throughout the land, criticize what you don't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command, and the old road is rapidly aging. So get out of the new road if you can't lend a hand, for the times they are
Ik zou u willen vragen om uw beslissing om het niet voor het publiek tentoonstellen te heroverwegen.
Ja.
Er is hier bij inziens een afmeting van een derde schilderij absoluut geen sprake van persoonsverheerlijking. Het is geen standbeeld van 10 meter hoog. En ja, het is tenslotte toch de geest achter dit museum.
Ja.
Het lijkt me zeer passend.
Ik zou net
een tekstje in de
Ik ben het allemaal voor, dat begrijp ik. Maar ik heb net al in mijn welkomstwoordje ook gezegd, tentoonstelling in het Dam in 1980 heeft ook heel veel mensen op het idee van een verzetsmuseum gebracht. Al die mensen die ook genoemd zijn, Mirjam Oringen, Max van den Berg, Karel Nijssel, die ook Roel Wouwenraven had genoemd, die zijn ontzettend belangrijk geweest.
En, heeft hij zo'n grote kamer?
Nee, ik heb een vrij kleine kamer, dus. Ik vrees dat we dat niet gaan doen, maar ik zal er nog een keer over nadenken.
Mag ik je voorstellen, tot iets waar ik het graag aan heb om haar te spreken? Er is hier in het Verzetsmuseum, misschien niet op dit moment, dat weet ik niet, dat we nu vandaag niet door het museum gaan lopen, maar er is historisch gezien en misschien ook actueel.
es ist erst einmal nur eine Perspektive, die das Individuum in den Mittelpunkt stellt.
Yay!
In diesem Text möchte ich mich weniger mit dem riesigen philosophischen Feld dazu und mehr mit den individualistischen Grundbausteinen des Anarchismus beschäftigen. Das Individuum ist keine abgeschlossene, statische Einheit. Es wird getragen von unterschiedlichsten Gefühlen, Gedanken, Bedürfnissen, Trieben, Prägungen und so weiter. Diese instabilen, manchmal gegensätzlich wirkenden Kräfte sind ständig in Bewegung und wirken sowohl in uns selbst, als auch im Wechselspiel mit anderen.
Als Ausgangspunkt können zwei verschiedene Spannungen betrachtet werden, die auf das Individuum wirken. Zum einen wird das, was es bezwingt, begrenzt, ohnmächtig und beherrschbar macht. Das sind Kräfte der Vereinzelung und der Fremdbestimmung, die mit Isolation und Entfremdung einhergehen. Individualisierung. Sie sind Teil der Zurichtungen und Traumata, die wir von klein auf in diesem System erleiden. Zum anderen gibt es das Sterben, das Streben, sich mit Zwängen der Fremdbestimmung zu widersetzen, selbst zu bestimmen, die eigenen Wünsche und Bedürfnisse zu leben, die Vereinzelung zu überwinden und Selbstwirksamkeit zu entfachen. Individualität. Sie beinhaltet das Bewusstsein über eine eigene Einzigartigkeit und Selbstbestimmung. Die Möglichkeit der Selbstreflexion und das Selbstbewusstsein, das auch die Konfrontation mit gewissen Gruppendynamiken aushält. Im psychologischen Sinne ist Individualität die Basis von Kreativität. Kreativ, kreativ, kreativ! Motivation, soziale Kompetenz und Empathie. Häufig werden die Kräfte der Vereinzelung als bürgerlicher Individualismus oder Liberalismus kritisiert oder mit Individualismus gleichgesetzt. Individualismus ist nicht dasselbe wie Liberalismus. Liberalismus ist scheiße. Im Unterschied zum Anarchismus lehnt der Liberalismus den Staat nicht ab, sondern sieht ihn als den Garanten für Freiheit und Eigentum. Liberalismus mag vielleicht teilweise die Freiheit des Individuums gegenüber kollektivem Zwang fordern, verlässt dabei aber nicht die Herrschaftsideologie des Kapitalismus, also der Gewalt von Eigentum und Rechtsordnung. Und das Kapital geht ja gerade mit der kollektiven Enteignung unserer individuellen Fähigkeiten einher. Die Entwicklung der Individualität kann genau dieser Vereinzelung und Entfremdung entgegenwirken. Manchmal wird auch Identität mit Individualität gleichgesetzt. Dabei sind sie eher gegensätzlich. Identität ist die Zuschreibung vermeintlich gleicher Rollen und Kategorien an unterschiedliche Individuen, also eine künstliche Gleichmachung und Verflachung der Individualität. Diese Art der Identifizierung bleibt meist unbewusst und verhindert damit überhaupt die Möglichkeit, darüber zu kommunizieren. Um Machtverhältnisse zu analysieren, kann es schon hilfreich sein, diese Kategorien auch mal bewusst in den Fokus zu nehmen. Aber sie zur Basis der Organisierung zu machen, kann sie jedoch nur verfestigen. Identitätskategorien halten uns in gesellschaftlichen Rollen gefangen. Vor allem, wenn wir uns selbst mit diesen fiktiven Rollen identifizieren. Dadurch werden wir zählbar und manipulierbar. 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 Manipulierbar! Die Entwicklung der eigenen Individualität bedeutet, aus Identitäten auszubrechen und sich selbst und andere einzigartig wahrzunehmen. Das Individuum kann immer noch alle Werte der Mehrzahl teilen bzw. verinnerlichen. Unter Individualität verstehe ich hingegen einen Bewusstseinszustand, in dem man sich als Einzelner gegensätzlich dazu verhalten kann, aus welchen Beweggründen auch immer. Aber wie stehen diese Individualistinnen eigentlich zu der eigentlichen Beziehung zu anderen? Gegen einen Bewusstseinszustand, in dem man sich als Einzelner gegensätzlich dazu verhalten kann, aus welchen Beweggründen auch immer.
Doppelgänger.
Aber wie stehen diese Individualisten?
Doppelgänger. freiwillige Beziehung zu anderen.
Doppelgänger.
Indem man sich als Einzelner gegenseitig dazu verhalten kann, aus welchen Beweggründen auch immer.
Doppelgänger.
Aber sie stehen diese.
I propose a complete duplication of matter.
Doppelgänger. Doppelganger.
I propose a complete duplication of matter.
Doppelganger.
Are you trying to tell me? I propose a complete duplication of matter. Are you trying to tell me that you don't know any of the people here?
Doppelganger.
Outside, the boy who lives spend the night, he can't decide. That's life, and we keep. favorite store. He dropped names behind the bar. Like he are, who we think he are. Up late and I sleep all day. These thoughts don't just go away. The cover's high, but this song, so wrap me up, yeah. Just can't get it together. No matter how hard I try, so blame it on the weather. Cause the summer came gray and way too dry. Parties dragged on, I smoked outside. The boy who lived spent the night, he came inside, that's life.
I'm Namulanta Kombo, and I'm so excited to tell you that my podcast, Dear Daughter, from the BBC World Service, has won Podcast of the Year 2022 at the British Podcast Awards. Dear Daughter is a collection of letters and stories offering advice and wisdom for life. It's sometimes funny, it's sometimes sad, but it's always insightful. Just search for Dear Daughter wherever you found this podcast.
Я горь, как вы узнали меня. Вот я.
New Year's Eve, and Russia's most popular TV channel is giving its viewers the sort of over-the-top entertainment they've come to expect at this time of year. An actor dressed as a QR code blasts out a humorous song about COVID vaccination in Russia. Behind him, ballet dancers pirouette in front of sparkling Christmas trees. But not everyone is enjoying the evening of comedy and music. Russian followers of the QAnon conspiracy theory will be working hard to find secret signs in the program proving that Russian pop stars are in fact Satanists. Everything is in plain sight. They aren't even trying to hide the devils, their video review declares. Although Russia is far from QAnon's epicenter in the US, there's been a growing following here. But it's a following that's been thrown into disarray by the issue that's come to dominate Russia's relations with the rest of the world. Ukraine. I'm Olga Robinson, and this is BBC Trending, where we take an investigative look at the world of social media and online culture. Over the last few episodes, we've been examining the influence of QAnon around the globe. This time, we're focusing on Russia. QAnon is a baseless conspiracy theory which largely centers on events in the US. At its heart are bizarre claims that former US President Donald Trump is waging a secret war against rich and powerful pedophiles in Hollywood and US politics. American QAnon supporters often express admiration for Russia's President Putin. But how has QAnon been received in Russia? It was June 2020, at the height of the pandemic, that QAnon groups started to pop up on Telegram and ВКонтакте, the Russian equivalent of Facebook. It looked like those numbers were set to keep rising. But since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, some of those groups have gone quiet. We will come back to the impact of the war later. But first, what sort of person has been drawn to QAnon ideas in Russia?
That's how I would describe myself, more like a light warrior or light worker or a person, human being who tries to change this world to a better place.
This is Natasha, a 35-year-old QAnon-informed blogger who lives in the mountainous region of Altai in Siberia, where she works at a ski resort. She tells me she has not watched mainstream media in 10 years and prefers to do her own research online. Natasha's entry point to QAnon came during the pandemic. Like others in Russia and elsewhere, her opposition to restrictions introduced by governments drew her to more extreme views.
For many people who were isolated or self-quarantined, or they had to do this job against their free will, they started to understand and they started to research, and that's how we all started to know each other.
What if I told you that those who were corrupting the world, poisoning our food, and igniting conflict were themselves about to be permanently eradicated from the earth? You might think that an idealistic fantasy.
Natasha was fascinated by this American QAnon video that she found online. So much so, she produced a Russian subtitled version to share with other enthusiasts. She started to believe unfounded conspiracy theories that COVID-19 was part of a wider plot by evil forces to control society. So who exactly are these evil forces?
Basically, it's anybody. So when people start to see that, okay, someone is corrupt or someone is doing things that are not acceptable, we are speaking not against. Sometimes it's exact people, sometimes it's more like we're speaking against the narrative, against the mind control.
Natasha and others like her continued to help spread QAnon on Russian social media.
I started the first Instagram page in 2020, and I've realized that there is no information translated to Russian, and that was exactly the time that I, let's say, woke up. I started to research on secret societies and on this pandemic fraud. And so I decided to start the Instagram page. And actually, the first Instagram page was called QAnon Russia.
That account had attracted around 5,000 followers before it was eventually deleted by Instagram. Mainstream social media companies have purged large amounts of overt QAnon material from their platforms. But that didn't stop Natasha.
So after this page was deleted, I created another page, and the name of this page was The Great Awakening Russia. And I continued to post, and I was already more careful about the wording that I use in captioning and all these kind of things. And then I switched to my personal account because I realized that it's a very big responsibility to have a name like this, like Great Awakening, and I decided to have my own personal input.
But how did QAnon, a US-based conspiracy movement, manage to migrate into Russia?
Russia was primed for QAnon for a number of different reasons.
Bond Benton is an associate professor at the Montclair University in the US who researches online conspiracy theories and their impacts.
One of which is the fact that QAnon, I think, draws upon a number of tropes, particularly anti-Semitic tropes, that various regimes throughout Russia's history have found value in propagating, right? If we keep, you know, sort of the people upset about, like, this group is no good, this group is actually the real cause of all our problems, it deflects from any meaningful interrogation of the problems of the current government, right? That's something that has historically happened in Russia. So the idea of the magic thinking of QAnon, that there's this one group that is really responsible for doing so much bad in the world, and if we just get rid of them, things are going to be great, and that's what we're working towards, that is going to be attractive to a population that has been kind of had that message for a long time. But I also think institutional distrust can't be overstated. So it's almost sort of baked in Russia kind of historically always gone to alternative sources because you did not trust institutional sources. With that in mind, it's going to be a lot harder to sort of counter QAnon.
So Bond believes that QAnon's notions that a shadow elite is responsible for society's ills appeal to currents in Russian society. His partner, Daniela Peterka-Benton, is also an associate professor at Montclair. And like him, she has also been researching QAnon. She says the effects of the pandemic were key to its ideas spreading around the world.
The fact that people were in lockdowns for months on end without any interaction with other people, having sort of like endless time to travel the internet and still having the desire to connect with other humans. So it was just a natural thing for people to try to find those connections online. And that paired with the algorithms, these breadcrumbs, I think that really kind of gave it that big push into what QAnon has become. It gave it that space to grow into what it has grown to, which may not have been actually the case if the pandemic didn't happen. I think that really just opened the door to all kinds of, bad messaging and people just following whatever made them feel better in that moment.
I've also been speaking to Konstantin Mikhailov, a Russian academic based in Austria who studies religion and conspiracy theories in Russia.
QAnon is an exceptionally well-developed, well-thought-out, and an exceptionally, so to speak, talented conspiracy theory. It is incredibly harmful.
Konstantin says QAnon is an international phenomenon which has found a home in many countries. But he says in Russia, part of the appeal is that QAnon taps into a historical hostility to America. QAnon presents a particularly potent vision of US society being rotten to the core.
On the one hand, Russian conspiracy theorists do not trust anything American. They suspect the Americans of all evil. And on the other hand, precisely because they see the US as a dangerous and powerful source, they tend to attach great importance to what is coming out of the US. And QAnon, an American conspiracy theory which is critical of the modern American culture, turned out to be great for them in that sense. So, the very evil force that they're so afraid of is exposing itself. Of course, this receives greater attention.
But as in the West, some find their way to QAnon during a time of personal crisis or disillusionment with authority.
My name is Vlad. People know me in the internet as Vlad Freedom.
Vlad is a Russian-speaking QAnon-themed blogger from Estonia. He has a significant audience on Telegram and an even larger one on Instagram with more than 100,000 followers. A former journalist, he began what he also calls his great awakening during the pandemic.
I was part of mainstream journalism and in principle understood what was happening behind the scenes, how the system operates. And at that time, certain events happened in my life that summed it all up, my disappointment in the system. This disappointment in the system, the disappointment in corruption, led to personal crises. There was big economic upheaval. There were big shocks in my private life. So all this hit me like a perfect storm. And that's how I, like Neo in the Matrix film, managed to completely unplug myself from the system and to look at it with completely different eyes. The eyes of a person who was completely independent of it. Everything became clear to me then about what was happening, and I started to tell people the truth.
And what does Vlad see as the truth?
There is a conspiracy. This conspiracy includes arms trade, human trafficking, child trafficking, and drug trafficking. And this operation is being covered up by all structures that are available in Washington, from the CIA to the White House.
Like Natasha, who we heard earlier, Vlad believes in QAnon's unfounded claims that the world is secretly being run by a sinister cabal who traffic and sacrifice children. But what do they think about Q, the shadowy figure who is supposedly at the heart of the conspiracy theory? In QAnon mythology, Q is a high-level US intelligence officer who's trying to alert the world to unspeakable evil. But that's not quite how Vlad and Natasha see things.
Q isn't a single person. Q is a phenomenon. Imagine that there is a certain force that is above us. Some may call it God, others may call it aliens, yet others may call it a universe. Imagine that we are all synchronized here in this reality, and all of this can be boiled down to the idea that there is a certain quantum computer that is in charge of everything. and what was launched with Q, it is indeed, as religious people would say, a certain divine manifestation. It is indeed an event that was inevitable and that was absolutely necessary for us in our timeline. And this event is going to continue in the future. That's the thing. It's not going anywhere.
I would say it's a group of highly intelligent people, and maybe not only people, as I truly believe we live not only human beings on this planet.
Can you expand on that? Like, who would that be if not just people?
Well, as I'm also researching on this, like, I'm pretty sure you heard about the secret space program, that we have many species here from other planets, and it's a big planetary event is happening. I think it's not only Earthlings, I think it's more.
So Q could be aliens, or a supercomputer, or something completely different. Both Natasha and Vlad seem to be very friendly people, but they are definitely ardent in their beliefs and very different from the crowds that stormed the Capitol in the US. Both say that they are not following